I facilitated an Alateen group of kids who are either family members of someone who's an alcoholic or who maybe have friends who are dealing with substance abuse. So,
and Alateen, Alcoholics Anonymous,
exactly,
for teens.
Same group. AA, Al-Anon, and Alateen are all affiliated.
Well, one of the reasons people drink or take drugs is because it can, at least in the beginning, mm-hmm. enhance performance. And one of the big moments in Time in a Bottle is when Beth gives a recital that could lead to a scholarship at a New York academy.
Right.
And I'd like you to read from chapter 11, where Beth is just about to go on stage. I should mention she brought a bottle of vodka with her in a bag, and she's mixing the vodka with sweet tea.
Right. Okay. Almost time, Beth. The stage manager runs his fingers down a clipboard. Two more ahead of you, so hit the wings in 10. Thanks, I nod, trying to remember his name. Craig? Cameron? He gives me a hard look over his glasses and says, "It's Kurt." He turns and hustles away before I can respond. Insulted, I guess. Why should he be? All our names are on his list. Not like he has to memorize them. Whatever. I grab my bag and head for the bathroom. My first bottle of tea is empty. I toss it in the garbage, pour the rest of the vodka into the second bottle, shove that empty lotion bottle back in my bag, and a few quick swigs of tea, and I'm ready. In the wings, I stash my bag on the floor next to the light board, careful not to get tangled in the cords. The girl manning the board smiles at me and whispers, "I'm putting you in some cool blue and purple lights, Beth. Four different mixes. It'll look awesome." Four, there it is again. I feel energized. Lucky. Like everything is falling into place. Emily passes me with her hand up for the high five. My hand is steady as we touch palms, and I tell her, "You hit it just right." She grins. My name's announced, and I step onto the stage. The grand piano is bathed in beautiful blue light. I float over, take my seat, position my fingers over the keys. A deep breath in, blow it out. Begin. The piece is difficult, very difficult, but so bold. Grand chords alternating with light scurrying notes, my fingers fly. The lighting changes as I play, swirls around me like water as it mixes with every note. Deep purple for the dramatic pauses, lighter blue for the delicate, fast notes, a rich purple blue for the transitions. Fantastic. Me, the music, and the colors are one. No fear. No faltering, just a thick churning of complex sounds and light and emotion. I pour everything into it. As I reach the final notes, the light returns to the original clear blue. The audience is holding its breath. I hit the closing chords, freeze until the sound dies completely. Lift my fingers from the keys, place my hands in my lap. Perfect. That was perfect. I was perfect.
This is the first time where Beth's dependence on alcohol is validated. And this sparks a series of events where Beth increasingly needs her twin brother, Teddy, to cover for her.
Right.
And this relationship where Beth creates a mess or a crisis and Teddy cleans it up got me thinking, who is the real protagonist here?
You know, several people have asked me that. In some cases, they say that alcohol is the protagonist. I think we really have, they're so entwined in life that both Beth and Teddy are the protagonists, and they work off each other and feed off each other.
Well, it's tempting to say the codependent relationship is the protagonist. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I don't want to give away too much, but Beth's path veers into some dark places. As a writer, how do you keep the reader engaged enough to follow Beth down into these dark places without giving up on Beth and the book?
Yeah, you know, that was hard in the beginning because my initial readers were saying, we want to like Beth more, you know, and I had to do some editing to really bring out the fact that she was kind of a victim of her own weaknesses. You know, she has a lot of social anxiety. And so I really had to bring that out at every stage. So when she'd fall into this and be kind of a horrible, snotty little teenage girl, I figured, well, you know, I'm going to bring out the pieces that show how really vulnerable she was and what really she was a victim of a lot of her own mistakes. So I had to keep rewriting it to bring out those little pieces until I really felt that you could see her in all of her vulnerability and her strength.
Yeah, you know, maybe not so much with the alcohol dependency, but she does seem like an ordinary teenager.
Right, right. you know, she's got her highs and lows. She's kind of a brat, and then she's also very loving sometimes. And, you know, social anxiety in teenagers, whether it's, you know, a full-blown disorder or whether it's just part of their everyday kind of growing up existence, exists for probably almost all of them. So you're right. It's pretty much every kid.
Now, after working with teens struggling with addiction, and after writing this book, how has your own view of wine, beer, spirits changed?
Well, for a while I was working with the kids, I have to say, I didn't drink for a long time, didn't drink anything. It was kind of the enemy, you know. I thought, wow, it just destroys so many lives. But in reality, something can come into play that might actually affect anyone's life and lead us down wrong paths. So I do occasionally drink now, but I do really look at people who have issues in a more empathetic light and try to see where they need support rather than look at them and be judgmental. It's easy to judge somebody who's falling down drunk. Ugh, what a mess, you know. But when you start to understand really where it's coming from, I tend to have a lot of compassion and feel sad for them that that's what they're living with.
This book is aimed at teenage readers, but you include discussion items at the end. Questions like, what is Teddy's reaction to Beth's first hangover, and why does he feel the need to cover for her? Who is the audience for these questions?
I've done some work in the libraries where they want to bring in adults to hear about the book. And then I've been invited to do a young adult book club sometime in the spring of this year. So I think people are starting to see it as pretty much available and useful and interesting and kind of a fun story just for pretty much of any age.
Well, Kathleen Tresemer is the author of Time in a Bottle at WNIJ.org. You can hear her read another excerpt from her book. Kathleen Tresemer, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.